my friends, and welcome to the Experience Our Industry podcast. I am Dr. Brian Greenwood, and I am super excited to be here today with Kelly Hedgecock Carvalho. How are you, Kelly?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing wonderful. It's so great to see you. We were just catching up, and I'm looking forward to catching up more. Kelly is a 2013 graduate of our program, and I told her I've got quite a bit of pressure on me today because I am on Zoom talking to a senior events consultant at Zoom. So there we go. And what 5 years ago, what would you say, like 5 years ago, maybe 5% of the American population had heard of Zoom, and now 5 years later, it's probably 95%.
Yes, definitely. I did not really understand what Zoom was before the pandemic, and now it's a verb, and it's, you know, everyone, it's the kind of the default term.
Exactly. It's so wild how things that happen in this world can spur companies, can spur things that come into our lives that we feel like we can't do without now. And so that's kind of how it is with Zoom, which is really amazing. So we'll get there. We'll get to your current role and what you're doing. But let's go back in time and get to know you a little bit better. Tell us where you grew up, Kelly.
Yeah. So I grew up in the East Bay area, specifically Walnut Creek. I actually was born in Pleasant Hill and lived there till I was about 10, which is just a neighboring town. Yeah. And then we moved to Walnut Creek when I was in fifth grade, and I lived there until I left for Cal Poly. So, it was a great place to grow up outside San Francisco, suburbs.
I bet it was just starting to boom as you were maturing into being a teen and that sort of
Yes. thing? Yeah, it's changed so much since we initially moved there. And now it's like the downtown is really popular, lots of good shopping and restaurants. And it's been fun to see the transformation.
I bet. Now, what did your parents do when you were growing up?
So my mom worked as an environmental risk assessor. She retired with AECOM, but she worked for a bunch of different companies throughout her career. But essentially what she would do is she would consult on different projects. And the example I always like to use is if a company wants to build something where there used to be a gas station, they have to make sure that the soil is okay and assess the risk of that. Yeah. So that's what she did.
Nice.
And then my dad, he retired from AT&T. He worked there for a long time, and he was a project manager, programmer with them. Yeah.
Nice. Well, I bet you had a leg up then in Dr. Sturm's risk management class, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
did you have Dr. Sturm?
Yes, I did.
You did. Yeah. Most people do. Right. And I throw people off a little bit when I say Dr. Sturm, but he is a doctor and he's working on a second doctorate, cause he has more degrees than anyone I've ever known. Like he is the epitome of lifelong learning. Like it's so great, but,
wow.
Yeah. But, so let's talk. What about siblings? Any brothers and sisters?
Yeah, I have a younger sister. She's 3.5 years younger. She went to UC Davis, and now she works on a farm in Eugene, Oregon.
No way.
So she's living the farm life. So nice. Different from my life.
Is she like a vet or a farmer?
Farmer, yeah. So planting crops, harvesting. She worked at farmers markets sometimes, packing CSA boxes, things like that. And she just gets to work outside and with animals and
nice.
Dreamy.
Nice, nice. I love it. Well, you know, I grew up on a farm, but it wasn't that type of farm. It wasn't that idyllic type farm. It was a tobacco farm. We were standing around smoking stogies, you know, like, oh, I'm just kidding. But I did have that as an excuse when, as a 16-year-old, I like sped away in my white Toyota Celica with the window down and a cigarette hanging out my mouth. I had that excuse. Well, I did grow up on a tobacco farm.
Right, of course you're going to be a smoker.
Exactly. How could I not? Supporting the
Yeah.
family business, right? Yeah, right. Oh man, I'm so glad I gave that up.
Yeah.
For sure. Well, let's talk about what young Kelly was like. What was your jam growing up? What were you into?
Oh man, I was really into sports. I'm sure
Yeah.
that's a very common answer. I was a big swimmer primarily. And also soccer, and then I did it. I tried everything. I did water polo, lacrosse,
Nice.
but swimming was the main one,
What
and
was your
definitely
specialty? What was your specialty stroke?
started out with butterfly, and then
Okay.
once I got older, and then you have to swim 100-yard races. I was like, we're done with butterfly. I'm going to backstroke. So yeah, but I was pretty good at backstroke too. So I was never a good breaststroker.
Nice. What's the one where you go where it's like that? Like it
Breaststroke.
that's breaststroke. Yeah. I
Yeah.
like that one. That's my favorite. I'm not very
That
good
one's easy.
either. Yeah.
Nice and leisurely.
It is. Yeah. I'm
Yeah.
not very good at any of them, but that one, if anything, that's what I would choose.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, you know, I have this like glory days segment where you get to do a little bit of Greenwood prompted braggadocio. You know, you get to tell us what your proudest accomplishment was before you started college. Does something stick out?
Yeah, I would say my swimming career, I'll brag about that a little bit. So I had an advantage because I don't know if you've read the book Outliers by Malcolm Gladwell. He talks about how a lot of professional hockey players are I think born in February, and it gives them an advantage. So I was right on the cusp of the age group for swimming. So I was always really good for my age group, and I would practice up because all my friends were in like the higher age groups. So anyways, that really helped me, I think, and I ended up getting a high point award for an all city meet once for my age group, and then I also qualified to swim at the county meets. You have to get certain times to qualify, and I placed in the 50 meter backstroke in that meet.
Nice.
And then I would often get like the MVP in when I was at the top of my age group
Yeah.
for just the end of season awards. So
Oh,
yeah, I had a
I love it.
decorated swimming career, even though
That's
it was mostly recreational.
right. But that's good. And that's
Yeah.
awesome. And that's something to be proud of for sure. And, you know, I love you talking about the outliers. I have an email thread with a bunch of buddies from UNC where I went to school, and there was this re recently this discussion about how a lot of parents are holding their kids back to gain advantages in sports. And I'm like, oh wow, okay, yeah. And of course you hear about that, but it makes me laugh because I think about my grandfather, and my mom always tells the story about how her high school English teacher would sa said to her once, said, "Your father was so smart, but he failed my English class 3 years in a row so that he could play 3 more years of high school football."
Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow, that's interesting. Parents are getting competitive out there with their
Yes. Yes.
kids.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, and I think my grandfather was why they instituted the guidelines. But so let's talk about that pathway to Cal Poly. You know, everyone, well, a lot of kids growing up have this like dream job, right? Or like my daughter, for as long as I can remember, has said she wanted to be a vet. And when you said something about your sister and UC Davis, that's why that popped in
Right.
my head, right? But so what about you? Do you remember any dream jobs growing up?
Yes. So I was always really into art. I guess that was another thing growing up that was I was into, but I loved painting, drawing, all things art, and would do that a lot in my free time. So I wanted to be an artist. And then I also wanted to be a baker, specifically the cakes at like Safeway and Costco. I loved looking at those. And I was like, I want that to be my job. I want to make those cakes.
Right.
So I was That's really awesome. Dreaming big.
Yes, you were. So are you a big British baking show fan?
I am, yes.
You are.
That show is great.
You and the rest of the world, right?
Yeah.
I love watching that show. It's so much fun. But I get so hungry.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, do you have an art side hustle? You know, everyone out west, I never heard a side hustle until I moved out west. And do you have a side hustle? Are you like big on Etsy or anything? Should we
for you? It's funny you mentioned that. I did have an Etsy shop at one point where I would sell my paintings.
Yeah.
That was shortly after graduating from Cal Poly. It was just like a fun little side thing. I didn't sell many paintings, but so that shop is closed.
Yeah, but it was still fun.
It was still really fun. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. That's awesome. Well, so let's talk about that journey, your path to Cal Poly. Obviously, we have a pipeline there from the East Bay, directly down 101 to San Luis Obispo. But everybody has their own unique story. What's yours?
Yeah. So my story may be a little different than most people. So I really was not attracted initially to Cal Poly. I didn't have any previous connections to the school, and I had gone on a road trip to tour a bunch of colleges with my mom and my friend and her mom. Mm-hmm. And we drove from the Bay Area down to San Diego and toured a bunch of schools. And I loved San Diego State and UCSB. So those were my top schools.
Yeah.
I think Cal Poly was maybe towards the end of the trip. And for some reason, I just didn't have the best experience on the tour. Yeah. I remember we parked up by like all the ag buildings, and I was just thinking, wow, it just smells like cow manure here. What the heck is this?
Man, the wind was blowing the wrong way that day.
Yeah, exactly. So I know now in hindsight, I just didn't get the full experience.
Right.
But anyways, so it definitely wasn't a top contender, but it ended up being the best school that I got into. I didn't get into my top two. And once I got in and started doing more research and also learning more about RPTA, which was the major at the time.
Yep.
So I was like, okay, this actually could be a great fit. And in hindsight, everything happens for a reason, and it was the best experience, and it was totally meant to be. So yeah,
love it. So tell us about that experience. What's one enduring memory that really pops out, like a story, a fun story or a fun moment or friend group or whatever that you know you'll never forget?
Yeah, so I was really good friends with Lisa Baird, shout out, and Sasha Lozboy. They've both been on the podcast,
yes.
Both fellow recies. So I lived in Yosemite Tower 5, which I loved, shout out T5, but they were both in Sierra Madre Tower 3, and I just would spend all my time there. I remember freshman year, I would pack a bag on Friday and move into Lisa's room and stay the whole weekend. Yeah.
That's so fun.
Her and her roommate had pushed their two beds together to make a big, and we called it the love nest.
Yeah.
So I would just sleep in the love nest with them, and then I would go back to T5 during the week. A lot of people at the end of the year thought that I lived in Tower 3, and we're surprised that no, I actually lived in Yosemite.
That is really wild. I love that story. That is so much fun. So let's talk about professional development. You know, one of the things we pride ourselves on here at Cal Poly is learn by doing, and you know, really trying to get our students to you know, live that mantra, if you will. So when you look back on your time at Cal Poly, is there something that stands out, whether it be a class project or a job or an internship or what, that you really feel like, wow, that helped to propel me?
Yeah, definitely. Looking back, I was thinking about all the different things I did, and I really tried to dip my toes in a bunch of different things. And all of them were amazing experiences. So I did an extra internship, not the official one, with the Downtown Association. So with that, it was a quarter long, and I would work at the info booth in at farmers market. I would also do some in-office days, helping just with office tasks there, and then also helping with promotions that they were having. So I was winter quarter when I did that internship, and I got to help put on the Halloween parade and work at the Santa booth or the Santa's house,
Yeah, are
where
you
they
an
do
elf?
Santa.
That's
Yes, I was an elf.
awesome. Nice.
And
Does
I
it give you
also.
a does it give you a even greater appreciation for the movie Elf?
Totally.
I
Yes.
bet, I bet.
It's a thankless job being an elf. Santa gets all the
Yeah.
glory.
Oh man, my family, we reference that so much. You know, our dog, Dottie, for some odd reason, just loves, like, the sight of me just sends her into almost like hysterics. And so almost every day, Jerusha quotes Elf and Buddy, like, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you,
Oh.
you know, because of the dog and her tail shaking, you know.
Yeah, that's
But
so
anyway,
funny.
yeah. Well, that's great. I love
Yeah.
we've had such a great relationship over the years with the Downtown Association, and so it's really cool to hear you talk about that. So you mentioned that as an internship, but it wasn't your official internship. What was your official internship? Tell us about that.
Yeah, so my official internship was at the St. Francis Yacht Club in San Francisco. So right in the Presidio on the marina, it was an awesome opportunity. And the way I got that is actually through Lisa Baird. Shout out again.
Shout out Lisa. Yeah.
One of her friends from high school was working there, and
Huh?
she connected us to the HR team. And me and Lisa actually did a dual interview there. And we were going to do it together, but she ended up getting a different opportunity, closer to something that she wanted to get into, which was travel. So I stuck with that internship and had an amazing summer rotating through all the different departments at the yacht club. So I got to work at the front desk and help members and make reservations. I also rotated through the restaurant. They had two restaurants there, so I would help with inventory and special events. And then the banquet department, where they had special events, I would help make layouts and work the special events. And then also, the yacht club has their own private island called it's called Tinsley Island in near Stockton. So all the members would cruise their yachts to this island, and they would have weekend long events for Memorial Day or Fourth of July, for example. So I got to go and live on the island and work on those. They called them cruises. So that was really cool. It was kind of like round the clock work, but helping with catering for those and events, that's just all the special events that they would put on. So that was really unique. And then I also was there at a unique time because they were hosting the America's Cup that summer.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, so that was cool to see. I wasn't too involved in the planning of it, but just seeing
But
all of
still.
the things come together for that, that
I
was really
bet.
special.
Yeah, so for those who don't know, the America's Cup is like this international huge sailing race, right? Like the World Cup of sailing. So yeah, that is pretty wild to be associated with that. And that's something huge to put on your resume. So let's talk a little bit. I mean, I guess you couldn't you had a hard time leaving SLO behind, right? So you ended up coming back and working at the Madonna Inn for a little while, right? What was that experience like working at the iconic Madonna Inn?
So after my internship, I moved back to SLO. Part of the reason my boyfriend at the time, now my husband, who I met at Cal Poly,
Right
he was
on.
doing his master's at Cal Poly. So I wanted to go be with him.
Okay.
And then I got the job at the Madonna Inn. So, wow, that was an experience. I worked in the banquet department. So we would do all the special events and weddings. And I really was just thrown in headfirst to all of it.
Yeah.
I got to do tours of the venues for prospective customers. And for weddings, I would put on the cake tasting, which was cool. Everyone knows about the iconic Madonna and cakes.
Yeah, I was gonna say if I had that position, I would have gained like 25 pounds
Yes, I know.
with all the bakery.
So good. Everything was so good that my favorite is the carrot cake.
Yeah.
And then I would put together BEOs. I also would help manage the floor on for certain events, and we had banquet staff. So that was a big learning lesson, was kind of how to manage staff, because I was 22, 23, fresh into my career, and these staff were, maybe double my age and had been doing this for so long that
Right.
I felt kind of weird coming in and being like their manager a little bit. So that was something that I took away, definitely learning how to navigate that.
Right.
And also I had to work every weekend. My schedule was
Right.
Friday to Tuesday. So, and sometimes I would have to work until midnight if we had a wedding. So I also learned that maybe I want a little bit more regularity with my schedule.
Yeah.
So, but
Living that life where Tuesday is your Friday is like kind of a little bit rough, isn't it?
it is, yes,
Find all the
exactly.
other service people in the town whose Tuesday is their Friday.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was fun to be a part of the hotel, and it's just so iconic.
Yeah.
My office was right by the famous men's bathroom with the waterfall, so we would always hear people giggling outside and
Oh my goodness, that's
yeah.
so funny. Yep, I've been in there a couple times, and every time I'm like, okay, yeah, okay, all right, yeah, sure.
Yeah, exactly. I know. And then all the women want to sneak in and take a look. And
Yeah. You're
yeah,
like,
you have to.
it's not
Yeah,
that
exactly.
special. That you would want to sneak in and get a look at it. Well, let's I don't want to obviously I don't want to necessarily like march through your resume, right? But you ended up going back to San Francisco and then you in working for Camp and King and then worked for a company called ePoster Boards in Boston. Were you working in Boston or were you remote there?
I was in Boston. So, again, back to my now husband, he decided to get his PhD and he went to the University of Rhode Island. So we moved to Providence
URI.
and URI. So I was there for 3.5 years and had a great experience.
That's great. Hey, yeah, what was that like? Where'd you live in Boston?
Well, I lived in Providence, Rhode Island, and
You
I
live in
commuted to
Providence.
Boston,
Commuted. Okay.
which was terrible. Do not
Ooh.
recommend that. But
Did you take a train or was it did you drive?
I drove mostly because our office was in Charlestown, so it would have been a couple different trains and a longer
Transfers.
walk.
Yeah.
Yes.
No bueno, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, the traffic in Boston is horrendous. So that was no fun. I ended up convincing my boss to let me work remote 3 days a week,
Oh.
so I didn't have to do the drive every day. So that was helpful. And then when the pandemic hit, it was fully remote. So,
Yeah. Well, hey, what was that like during to be in Boston during the pandemic? I bet that had to be hard, or to be in, the Northeast and a place that you weren't necessarily that connected to. What was that like?
yeah, it was surreal. I think back to that time and it was just, I just can't believe we all went through that. And it totally affected my job. We had to go fully virtual for our events. And just to kind of explain what I did for them, we did, people listening probably are familiar with paper poster sessions, but we made those all digital. So we would be hired as a vendor for conferences, or we worked with a lot of universities and hospitals. And so they would hire us to bring in all this equipment to do digital poster sessions. So on a TV with a tablet and a stand, and we did full management of all those logistics and also working with the presenters to make sure their formatting was correct and uploading their posters to us in advance. So we ended up transitioning to virtual events, which was quite an experience. We first went to Zoom. So I remember we had an event with NYU and it was going to be fully virtual on Zoom with breakout rooms. And I was so nervous because I was just like, oh my gosh, I don't know how to do this. But we
Yes,
had to fake it till we made it.
that's right.
We ended up moving to a different platform, and I ended up actually, we moved back to California summer of 2020. So
Right,
we
after
drove across the country, middle of the pandemic. So yeah, it was about 6 months or less than that of being on the East Coast during the shutdown. But
Gotcha.
yeah.
And then you were hired by the booming company called Zoom that took over the pandemic and continued from there. So let's talk about that experience with Zoom. First of all, I want to ask you, what's it like working for, a company that pretty much everyone knows of now and utilizes? What's that been like?
Yeah, it's been great. I was hired in 2021, so the
Wow.
initial craziness of the pandemic, I missed that part, and then the company was just booming when I joined, so that
Of
was
course.
really exciting. And yeah, it's great working for Zoom because obviously everyone knows it, and I think a lot of people know it's the best platform. I may be biased, but we're on it now. It's reliable and it's trustworthy. So, yeah, it feels good to work for a company that has a good reputation and is doing really well.
Yeah, and it's just so user friendly. I mean, I don't know, just and so many capabilities, and they keep adding more and more things that make it more and easier and easier. Let's talk about what you do, your day to day. You started as event services consultant, and now you're a senior events consultant. So tell everybody what that means and what you do. Walk us through. I know that every day is different, but what's your typical day like?
Yeah, so in my role, we get requests for event support either through sales or from returning customers. And then we have a team that kind of assigns them out to different consultants. So I'll get assigned an event. I do a discovery call with them. So that's a free initial call to learn about their needs. And then I'll put together a statement of work, scoping how many hours of support that they'll need. And that would include planning calls, rehearsals with their speakers, and then day of event support. So my day is pretty much filled with those types of calls. I'm always on Zoom, mm-hmm. talking to customers, and supporting in events, which could mean a couple different things. Sometimes we're people just want us there to feel that extra safety blanket. So we're just there mm-hmm. in case anything happens. And sometimes we're completely running the event and the okay. customer wants everything to go perfectly and look beautiful. So mm-hmm. we'll be sharing the slides, videos, spotlighting speakers, things like that.
Yeah.
And we also offer training. So we have a platform called Zoom Events. Not sure if you're familiar with that, but it's a more robust. Basically, you can host conferences on it and multi-sessions. So it's a lobby. You have different sessions. They can be concurrent. And then you can also have a virtual expo hall, a lobby chat. It's there's a lot you can do with it. So we work a lot in that platform and we can help train customers on that and then also build out their event if they want. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's a lot of that.
I love
day to day. We also help with our internal Zoom events. So I do like our all hands and
right.
Some brand partnerships. I've gotten to work with a lot of really cool companies. Yeah. So mm-hmm.
very cool. Well, I quite honestly, Kelly, I wasn't sure, you know, in looking at things, I'd seen a couple of posts that you had made and I saw Zoom events and I was like, oh, wow, what a great idea. And then I was like, but I wonder whether she's working primarily on that or, like you said, the internal all hands. But so a little bit of both and then a little bit of the consultant work, too, which makes sense. Let's talk a little bit about where you're living. You're in Portland, right? So
yep.
Tell us, without going into an episode of Portlandia, tell us about Portland and what you like about living there.
Yeah, so I just moved here last August, so this is my first Portland winter. I was a little nervous about that because before I was living in Santa Cruz, which is so beautiful, right by the beach. So it was a big change, but I am absolutely loving Portland. I live in the southeast quadrant, which is great. And there's just so much to do here, so much beautiful nature, hiking. When we were here in the summer, it was just alive with everyone out. The weather's amazing. There's so many different swimming holes and the food is probably one of the top things. So I love trying different restaurants and my husband and I do a date night every Wednesday and we try a different restaurant. So that's been really fun.
Nice. I love that. Yeah. You know, I miss those days in my 20s and 30s. We did hump day parties. So every Wednesday, yeah, we had a party at a different friend's house and, that's always fun. And I have a couple of really good friends in the Portland area. One of my good friends, lives on a blueberry farm just south of Portland. When I took my kids to her 40th birthday party up there, they didn't want to leave. They wanted to move in with Aunt MJ. They were like, do we have to leave, Daddy? No, we don't want to leave.
Yeah, I want to gorge on fresh blueberries all day. That sounds amazing.
Exactly. And even though MJ had them, what do you call it when you have to scoop the poop from the like sheep's pen, I forget what they call that, but she had a fancy name for it. And the kids even loved that. I'm like, goodness gracious. but mucking, I think they call it mucking. Yeah, that's it. But anyway, that must be awesome having your sister there, like, so close. And, that must be cool.
Yeah. It's great. It's funny. I never really pictured myself in Oregon and she's been living in Eugene for 3 or so years. And, now we're neighbors. We're both Oregonian.
Yeah.
Life. So yeah,
it's cool.
It's cool.
Yeah, so tell us let's keep on that thread. So, work-life balance obviously is a huge element in today's society, and especially as working professionals. And Zoom has an element where you could say, on one hand, Zoom contributes to helping work-life balance, or maybe you could say on the other that Zoom contributes to a negative work-life balance. And I think it probably depends on the company and depends on the individual. But what about you and your commitment? What do you do to maintain that work-life balance? And what is Zoom as a company? Do you feel like they're doing, are they progressive along those lines?
Yeah, Zoom is really progressive. I feel really lucky. I think depending on the role that you're in, it can differ. But with my team specifically, my manager is really cognizant of work-life balance. We have unlimited PTO, which is really nice, and we're encouraged to, block our calendars. We use Calendly to schedule all of our customer calls, so our customers kind of run our calendars if we don't control it. So I try, if I see my calendars filling up a certain day, I make sure to block time off that no one can book for lunch or a break. And I would say I try to sign out of apps on my phone after, especially on the weekend, so I'm not getting dings from our Zoom chat feature. And then taking breaks, getting out to walk my dog. That's a great perk of working remote, is kind of that flexibility. And then another thing our team encourages is our events. We try to have regular work hours, but sometimes I have to work a really early event or I have to stay on late. So I make sure to block my calendar in the morning if I have a late event, and vice versa. And then we also have a system where we cover weekends. So once a quarter-ish will be assigned to a weekend, and maybe there will be an event, maybe not. But even if we have to work like a 2-hour event on a Saturday, we get a whole comp day whenever we want. So we can take a whole weekday off. So that's really nice. And yeah, I feel like my work-life balance is prioritized.
Good, good. I
So.
love that. I love that. Well, I didn't prep you for this one, but I think you're probably sufficiently prepped for it. Obviously, AI, artificial intelligence is something that is on everyone's minds right now. Obviously, Zoom has been pretty progressive along those lines in integrating AI into the mix. And I love what I heard someone say recently, where they said, "Well, AI is like everyone has their own personal assistant," and I think some of the features that Zoom has rolled out kind of speaks to that, right? Like whether it be transcribing meetings or whether it be notes, meeting notes and that sort of thing. Talk to us a little bit about what you see. Where you see AI fitting in terms of Zoom and some of the progress and some of the concerns that you have along those lines.
Yeah, that's a great question. So, yeah, Zoom has offered free AI summaries to all users. So, it's been fun to kind of play around with that. If you have it turned on for a meeting, you get an email as the host afterwards with a summary, and it's pretty spot on. And it's nice to have kind of an outline of what was discussed. So, that's really great. We also have some AI tools for Zoom events. So, for our conferencing platform, where you can use AI to type out event description or body of a email that's going to go out to your attendees. So that's kind of neat. I actually did a event with Good American, which is Khloe Kardashian's jeans brand, where we did their open casting to find models for their brand. And it was a partnership between Zoom and Good American. So I can talk about it. And a big part of the story of that partnership was using AI. So we actually got on a call with their team and generated some prompts for the emails and the session descriptions. And it was really fun to play around with. And they have some fun prompts where you say, write a description about XYZ, and then it'll generate 5 options. And you can prompt AI to say, make it shorter, make it longer, make it more informal, make it funny. So that's, I can see a lot of use cases for that. And then also, I think I can talk about this because it's coming out really soon. We are going to have an AI image generation tool in Zoom events where you can actually create images for your event, for your main event image or your session images. And they look really beautiful. So I think we're the first event platform that is going to have that feature. So nice. That's really exciting. And yeah, I see it as a benefit for sure. I don't see really any negatives for these use cases. I think it's only if you want to use it, it's there. If not, you write your own copy and use your own images. But
just enhancing what we do. You know, I think the worry is obviously is that AI is eventually going to take over all of our jobs, right? And and you know, we as professors worry about that too. You know, I hear people talk about it and worry about it. And, you know, I guess you could say that, I guess I can see where people are coming from with it, but I just also look back. I know that our field had the worry of robots and computers taking over, you know, back in the 50s and the 60s, there was worries about that. Right. And, you know, we've made it this far. So, I think we'll continue to make it work in some way or another. And, I don't know. I also kind of look at it, and maybe this is me being naive, Kelly, but, being a Star Wars fan, I'm like, I don't know. I mean, I think it would be pretty cool to have C-3PO there to talk to, you know?
Definitely. Oh my gosh. C-3PO
seemed like he was adding to things, not taking away, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I think there's also just no replacement for the human brain and how we think and how we can be creative. Especially, I haven't seen any AI that's generated something like so profound that a human couldn't
I totally agree. So let's end on this one, Kelly. If you could do some time travel and go back in time and maybe to what was that, Sierra Madre Tower 3, one of those sleepovers, what advice would you give to like your junior year self?
I would say prioritize your mental health. And I would give that advice to anyone who's listening as well. Make sure you have good friends you can talk to, go to your professors, go to a professional if you're really struggling. I feel like when I was a junior or sophomore, I was really struggling with anxiety. And I think it held me back in a lot of ways that I kind of wish I had felt more comfortable to seek help, and it would have made my experience a little better, and I could have gotten maybe more involved in certain things that I didn't. So definitely would say that to myself. And then also I think this is probably a common answer, but just comparison. And it's something that you really have to learn in hindsight, because you just feel like you're behind, and then you eventually get where you want to be, and you realize that I didn't really need to be worrying so much, but it doesn't feel like that in the moment. So try not to compare yourself. Your time will come when it's supposed to. And that's what I would say.
Such great advice. And I just love that. And I think it's so amazing. I like actually was looking for one of my like sticky notes blew off my desk earlier. And I can't remember, it was one of my recent podcast guests. I think it might have been Annalise Tappy, who was posted recently, and she had the quote that comparison is the thief of joy. And I think that's oh man, that's just
So true.
so true. And I also appreciate you being so open and candid about anxiety. I in recent years have shared with students about my anxiety, and you know, it was something that I hid from for many years. And I think we are as a society getting better about destigmatizing mental health and destigmatizing the struggles that we've had that some of us have. And you know, I do think that the pandemic, if anything, I think maybe the pandemic helped us to open up a little bit more about that, right? I think the pandemic caused a lot of struggles for a lot of us with anxiety. But I think it also helped to open us up a little bit more. And so I just appreciate you sharing that, and couldn't agree more. But and also just want to thank you so much for your time. It's so amazing getting to catch up with you and hear about your amazing career and all that you've done. And can't thank you enough for your time today.
Thank you so much for having me. I was so excited to get the message from you on LinkedIn. I was like, yay, it's my turn.
Awesome. I
So thanks for
know.
reaching out. It was really
Yes.
fun.
Yes, of course. And shout out to Lisa and Sasha. I love that y'all are friends, and that's awesome. I'm so glad that I could have you on. So thanks so much, Kelly. Take care.
Thank you. You too.
See ya. Bye.